Welcome to Smart Marks Podcast.
Welcome to the Smart Marks Podcast. Your weekly look into all things professional wrestling. No matter if it happens in a square circle, an Aztec temple, or a six-sided ring. Here to lay the smackdown on your ear holes are your hosts, the Smart Marks, Matt Salgado and Jeremy.
What up, Smart Marks? Usually, hey, guess what, Smart Marks? That's what I'm calling everybody. What up? It is me, Mateo, 83. I'm not too sure if I'm happy with that opening, but you know what? I'm going to keep it because it's just me flying solo this week. I know our solo episodes are always kind of a little weird, so I'm going to kind of do things a little bit different. I'm going to try my best to keep the show flowing, keep the show moving, read some articles, do some things, and hopefully you guys will enjoy snippets of what I can put out there, and we can make it through this week together. Unfortunately, Jeremy had to cancel last minute. Some family emergencies came up, so he's unable to be a part of this week's show. So our thoughts are with Jeremy, and we hope all is well. Having a little bit of a family crisis right now. I'm sure he's gonna detail all of that on next week's episode. So don't worry if you guys are want super nosy and you want to know what's going on with him. Definitely tune into next week's episode as well. Speaking of which, next week's episode will be a big prediction show. We have Survivor Series coming up, and on top of that, we have NXT TakeOver Toronto, I believe, the Saturday night before. So a lot of action coming up real soon. Should be a lot of fun next week, guys. You know, part of me kind of thinks maybe Jeremy had to take the night off to kind of recuperate from the madness that we've kind of experienced the past 2 days in this country. We're not a political podcast. We are a wrestling podcast, but nonetheless, I am going to do my best, and I was actually looking forward to talking to Jeremy this week to kind of get my mind off of things, you know, kind of just decompress and just not worry about, not be stressed out about things that have gone on. If you follow me on Twitter, guys, you definitely know my stance on where I stand politically, so you can kind of get an idea of what I'm going through right now. But nonetheless, moving on, we'll go into some stuff here, guys. We got some news. I'm going to kick it right into news. The Undertaker is coming back to WWE next week. Not to Raw, but to SmackDown, the SmackDown before Survivor Series, which is going to be pretty awesome. And on top of that, besides The Undertaker returning, we don't know what his role is going to be. Maybe he's going to have some sort of, I don't know, announcement he's going to make, if he's going to take part in something regarding Survivor Series, who knows. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what The Undertaker has to do, what they have planned for The Undertaker coming up next week. On top of that, last week, guys, we missed out on reporting on the announcement of 205 Live. And if you guys don't know what 205 Live is, 205 Live is a dedicated cruiserweight show specifically made for the WWE Network, which is going to be exciting and a lot of fun to watch. I'm highly excited to see more cruiserweight action being showcased on the network, and not necessarily just on Raw or maybe even in the future SmackDown. We'll get into that in just a little bit. But just the simple fact that, you know, we can have more than just a one-on-one or a promo with a six-man tag going on Raw, because the six-man tags are kind of deflating at the moment. I mean, we have all this great talent, but we're regulating it to two matches on Raw because, hey, we got to tape the ropes. It takes up some time. So, yeah, that kind of, to me, that gets on my nerves. You guys know my stance on the taping of the ropes and everything according to that. I will get into some news real quick, and big change to the SmackDown announce team. They added Todd Phillips to the SmackDown announce team, which is pretty awesome. Tom Phillips is joining the SmackDown announce team, and nobody's actually leaving. It's going to be a four-man booth. Now, guys, whether or not you have ever, I don't know if I've ever even heard of a four-man booth in wrestling, much less sports in general. So the four-man booth is completely foreign and completely new to me. But congratulations to Tom. This is awesome. I was kind of hoping they maybe get rid of David Otunga. I don't know. Am I the only one there that was kind of hoping that would occur? But nonetheless, SmackDown Live has, I'm reading it straight from WrestlingInc.com. SmackDown Live has a new addition to its announce team. Tom Phillips, announcer, joins play-by-play commentators Mauro Ranallo, Dio Tonga, and color commentator JBL, giving Team Blue a four-man booth every Tuesday night at 8, 7 Central on the USA Network. Phillips made his WWE debut in 2012 on NXT, where he announced NXT Arrival, WWE's network's first live in-ring broadcast. If you're not NXT Universe, in addition to joining SmackDown Live, Phillips will still call the action on WWE next NXT every week. Going back to 205 Live, Mauro Ranallo and Corey Graves will be doing the commentary for that. So look forward to that. Should be a lot of fun. So on top of that, I'm bringing up the news here, guys. So just bear with me as I'm pulling stuff up. Hey, we got to give our thoughts and prayers to former WCW World Champion Vader, who was involved in a rollover car accident. So it is said that the car rolled over twice and he was unconscious for nearly 35 minutes. Apparently, he was already tweeting. So I guess Big Van Vader is doing pretty good. he tweeted, was in a rollover accident, healing up and about, I'm looking like a effing conehead. I think he might be a little concussed. Near fatal, I was unconscious and traf in the car upside down, knocked out for about 35 minutes, close one. The way these tweets are worded, written out, makes me feel that maybe he might have still been in the car when he wrote these. Rolled it over twice. I was look a giant pinata. That big dent is where my head was. A very thankful Vader time. And the last one. I walked away from this rollover. I am definitely hard to hurt. So, you know, we've had some issues with Vader. You know, especially him criticizing the Will Ospreay Ricochet match. And he's back in the limelight, so we never wish harm upon anybody, and I'm happy that Big Van Vader is doing just fine. So on top of that, I'm just all over the place. I'm sorry, guys. We got a WWE Hall of Famer in the White House come next year, so of course Donald Trump. I feel we have to kind of report that because it is that case. Never thought we'd see this day come, but you know, That is intense, a little insane, and WWE Hall of Famer Donald Trump elected president of the United States. That to me is pretty wild. More political news: we all knew that Rhino was running, and he was hoping to be a House representative for the 15th district in Michigan. Unfortunately, he didn't get enough votes, and he only got 35.6% of the vote, while his opponent won with 64.4%. Rhino hasn't been reached out for comment yet, but he's still WWE Tag Team Champ on SmackDown, so he's got that going for him. I think he's going to do just fine. Joey Styles gets blocked by TNA on Twitter. Let's see what that's all about. Future Pro Wrestling shuts down. Matt Hardy gets votes. Give me a second here. I accidentally clicked on the video. Future Pro Wrestling, one of the notable British wrestling promotions, announced on their official Facebook that they are closing down. Matt Burden, the co-founder of the promotion, cited personal circumstances as the reason for making such a decision. They also noted that the fans who bought tickets for the December show would be refunded. FPW was established back in 2011, had played host to some notable names. You may know these names, like Tommy Ann, Will Ospreay, Marty Skrull, and many others. You can read the full announcement with the link on there. And as noted earlier, as I mentioned in the headline, Joey Styles had taken a shot at TNA's power struggles on Twitter sometime back. And now Joey has revealed that TNA has blocked him on the social media site for his tweet. He had tweeted the following: SD Live viewers, TNA blocked me for the tweet below. On election night, I predict Fight Night elects to move TNA to Toronto without TNA Dixie. So for whatever reason, I guess maybe he struck a nerve with Dixie, maybe even with TNA. TNA is all over the place right now, and unfortunately, they're probably a little bit sensitive to some matters. So they blocked Joey Styles, but Joey Styles can join the Smart Marks, me and Jeremy, as people have been blocked by talent of certain sort. so congratulations on that. Matt Hardy claims that he got thousands of votes during the elections. Hardy revealed that the same with the tweet, which you can see. A government agency just contacted and informed me that I received thousands of votes for President of the United States. How flattering and delightful. I don't know how I feel about that, barring the results. We got a TNA Knockout who wants to be part of the NXT tournament coming up. As noted earlier, WWE is currently planning a women's tournament, which will be similar to the Cruiserweight Classic. Though WWE has yet to confirm the tournament, former TNA Knockout Angelina Love has already expressed her interest. The six-time TNA Women's Knockout Champion Angelina tweeted out the following and was met with a positive response from the fans. She said, "So I hear WWE NXT will be hosting a women's tournament. This six-time champ is very interested." So, I mean, would you guys? I'd be up for seeing Angelina Love in NXT ring, whatever they have planned, or not even NXT ring, but just a women's tournament. That'd be pretty awesome. We keep getting ads for the return, and I'm still not sure who they are. But we did get some the Dusty Classic finalists set up on this week's episode of NXT. So if you haven't watched NXT yet, pause the show. Go watch NXT. You pause the show. Unpause the show. TM61 versus Authors of Pain has been announced as the finals of WWE NXT Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic at TakeOver Toronto on November 19th. So on top of that, Paul Ellerling will be banned from ringside, so he won't be able to assist the Authors of Pain, which is pretty awesome. It's pretty cool to see TM61 do as good as they did and go as far as, I mean, they're on TakeOver. They're going to be competing for the Dusty Classic, which is pretty awesome. I think that's cool. I'm just sitting here reading stuff. And a lot of stuff, it's just kind of like, I don't know if I want to read these kind of news. I mean, WWE planning to use JBL and Paul Heyman for a new WWE Network content, ECW Originals, okay, I get it. WWE cutting back on pay-per-view events in 2017. Due to a decline in the WWE Network subscription numbers, WWE officials are looking at making another change when it comes to the pay-per-view schedule next year. Plans haven't been finalized yet, but according to the Wrestling Observer newsletter, there will be a few less pay-per-view events than originally planned in 2017. After the December 18th Roadblock pay-per-view, WWE will just run 15 pay-per-view events in 2016, plus 5 network-exclusive events. So we're going to cut back on the amount of shows we get, which, I mean, 15 is still quite a bit. That's, you're averaging more than one a month there. So there's going to be a few months where we get two, maybe one at the beginning of the month, one at the very end. As it is now, we got Survivor Series coming up next week. And I feel like we don't get enough of a lull, enough of a break in between shows. And everything is so rushed. I mean, I felt like Hell in a Cell was a great pay-per-view. You know, I did enjoy watching it a lot, but it felt like, man, that was rushed. We could have a little bit of a better build. And you could have done a little bit more to surprise us, I feel. You know, if you listen to last week's episode, you can kind of get a sense of that from me and Jeremy. And, this is such a great episode this week. I just don't know what else to... I think that's it for news. I'm going to be fine. Lucha Underground, guys, we had Matanza versus Cortez Castro. Cortez Castro was in a cast. Did not stand a chance against the monster Matanza. Wasn't even a match. But Prince Puma versus, not Matanza, I wrote my notes wrong, Mil Muertes. Matches made for grave consequences, so I'm looking forward to that. Dr. Wagner versus Son of Havoc. Son of Havoc picking up the big win. And in a loser leaves Lucha Underground match, Rey Mysterio defeated Chavo Guerrero. So very interesting in seeing how that happened. I know that Chavo Guerrero is a producer on the show, so he's definitely going to remain backstage doing a lot of stuff for the show. There's no way I would ever imagine Lucha Underground getting rid of Chavo Guerrero. Now, is he necessarily needed for the show? No, you can do a lot without Chavo. I mean, you can have top storylines without Chavo Guerrero there. But he's a great producer. I like what he's doing for Lucha Underground. And I hope he sticks around a little bit longer because I think he's a vital part of that Lucha Underground team. And you know he's going to be back. You know he will be back. I was speaking of NXT earlier, Team DIY versus Authors of Pain. Obviously, Authors of Pain picked up the win against Team DIY. But Team DIY got set up with the match because of the interference caused by the Revival. So I'm looking forward to that. Sanity took on Team 61. I kind of feel like maybe it was a little bit too early for Sanity to take an L here. But highly excited for Team 61. This is going to be a good match. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of the Authors of Pain because I'm not really that big a fan of those guys of that kind of size, especially when they're so much bigger than the rest of the NXT roster. But you know what? I kind of got won over this past week with their match on NXT against Team DIY, so I'm really looking forward to that match at NXT TakeOver. Ember Moon defeated Rachel Evers. Pretty good match. I mean, it was really entertaining. I love Ember Moon matches. I can't get enough of Ember Moon matches, so the more Ember Moon, the better on my TV. I don't even think she has a match set up for TakeOver. That, to me, is a shame. She should be, you know, being pushed. I kind of feel maybe after this TakeOver, a title run for her, just challenge is in the works. You know, she may not win it her first time, but to establish her as a top female talent in NXT, I think that's the way to go. And that's what they're doing with her. They're setting her up to be the next, you know, I don't want to say the next Asuka, but the next big girl in NXT. You know, whether or not Asuka ever makes the jump to the main roster, I kind of feel like, what would they do with Asuka there? You know, I would feel she'd probably be more suited for a show like SmackDown because Nia Jax is that unstoppable female talent on Raw, and you can't have another unstoppable female talent, you know, on there. You have to probably put her on SmackDown, where I feel the competition is better. Unfortunately, I feel it is better. Three of my favorites are on Raw right now. But the women's division on SmackDown just seems so much better. I don't get it. You know, Raw has all this time to put out there. And, you know, we had two women's matches on SmackDown this past week. And did we even get one? We got one on Raw. And it's just kind of like, come on, like, figure it out, guys. I don't know. The Raw show to me is such a mess. And Shinsuke Samoa Joe had a great contract signing segment on NXT this week. So tune into that, guys. I mean, if you haven't watched NXT yet, told you to pause the show and get to it because watch NXT. It's awesome. I don't know. SmackDown was really good this week. Becky Lynch, Alexa Bliss had a solid match for that women's title. And just going back into what I was talking about, just, you know, I feel that the women's division is so much stronger on SmackDown than it is on Raw. And really, I mean, you have a bigger show on Raw. It should be a better show on Raw. It should be a bigger show on Raw. Why is that not the case? Why is Raw constantly being, you know, to me, is the B show, you know? And I have a hard time watching Raw these days. Like, you know, on top of, you know, having a 1 month old, you know, brand new into my world where my attention is divided now, I can't really focus quite as much as I could. I still try to find the time to, you know, put the effort into watching the show. Quite frankly, it's very hard. I'm sure it'll be easier once my son gets older. And hopefully he'll be just as entertained by the product than I am. But, you know, I'm looking forward to... I look forward to watching SmackDown every week because I know SmackDown's constantly going to be a good show. I try to watch it live. Most of the time, I usually have to watch it on a replay via Hulu or online through some other source. But SmackDown, I mean, I can watch SmackDown and it'll fly by for me. And I'm like, whoa, that was a good show. I want more. Give me more SmackDown. And that's never... that's hardly ever the case with Raw. Usually Raw ends and it kind of leaves me with a bad taste in my mouth. And that shouldn't be the case. Like, that should be more... Raw should be more fun, you know? And that should be where we stand with that. I'm still, you know... This James Ellsworth thing, it has me in a bit of a funk lately, you know, because granted the guy, for whatever reason, has a cult following, and it'll wear out soon. I know the James Ellsworth, well, that's not even his name, no, that's Ellsworth, James Ellsworth, sorry, will... that will run its course. The fans will get tired of it, and I guess, you know, I am envisioning a heel turn on his part. He's very lucky, and, you know, more power to the guy. He's running with it. They keep bringing him back to keep using him, and who knows what's going to happen in his career, but this is, I mean, if I got offered the position, I would definitely do it, so I can't blame the guy. But I just don't like seeing guys that should be in the main event not be in the main event. You know, why wasn't the women's title match the main event? They called it the main event of SmackDown, but it wasn't the main event at SmackDown. The main event is always your last match of the night. It's going to be your last match of the night, and that should be the one that ends, you know, on a high note, whether it's a heel finish or a babyface finish. And just this Ellsworth thing, it's running its course. I can only take so many chin puns. I don't know if I can take any more. And they're trying so hard to keep him going, but yeah. Hey, so apparently Baron Corbin is out of Team SmackDown Survivor Series. Kalisto took him out on this week's SmackDown, getting a bit of a revenge, a bit of an injury angle going on. So I really liked seeing like Kalisto being a bit of a badass, you know, and going out there and just taking him out. So leading with that, let's go into next week's events. Now next week, me and Jeremy will get together and we will break these down match by match, or, you know, we'll do our predictions next week, and we'll just leave it at that. I mean, that's what we'll do next week, which is, come on, it's our go-home show. I'm rambling. Moving on. I'm going to bring up the match card for NXT, which I'm highly excited for. 5 matches announced for the show. We'll see what we get in a 2-hour span. The Revival, Scott Dawson, Dash Wilder, against Team DIY, Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa. It'll be 2 out of 3 falls match for the NXT Tag Team Championship. I love this feud going. Like, I love that it's still going, and it's been going on since, God, I feel like it for 6 months plus, at least. You know, I feel since the Cruiserweight Classic, since before then. Like, man, like, this is cool. I'm really happy with seeing Team DIY get the recognition they deserve. Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa are such great wrestlers that I'm glad that they're finally being recognized. As mentioned before, the Authors of Pain will be taking on TM61 in the finals of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. You know, I feel like TM61 will probably go and get the win here. I just don't think the fans are behind or even hate Authors of Pain as much as they hope they would. So, I don't know. Bobby Roode versus Ty Dillinger, straight up singles match. That's going to be really exciting. The Perfect 10 versus the Glorious One. I mean, I'm very happy for Ty Dillinger and what's going on in his career. Like, this resurgence he's getting in NXT is great. I love it. Would not be surprised if they give Ty Dillinger the win here, because, I mean, throw the guy a bone. He's usually the guy that jobs out or loses to a debuting NXT superstar, and hopefully his match is awesome, and Ty Dillinger gets a nice little rub, even if he doesn't win. You know, hopefully it's not a total squash. I hope it goes all right. Women's championship for the NXT championship, women's championship match. I'll get that out there. Between Asuka defending her title against the returning Mickie James. You heard that right. Mickie James is coming back to the WWE for one match, maybe some more. I mean, if she wins the title, she's got to stick around, right? So I like this idea of, you know, you've beaten everybody on the roster. Let's see who we can bring in to challenge you. I like this idea. I'm a big Mickie James fan. And as mentioned before, a couple episodes before, it was supposed to be Trish Stratus, but she had announced that she was pregnant. So obviously you cannot wrestle while you're pregnant. Come on, guys. Come on. And then in our main event for NXT TakeOver, we have a singles match for the NXT Championship between Shinsuke Nakamura, Samoa Joe. I'm loving the build of this. It's really good. Being able to talk about the matches, each one, is nice, because next week we'll do predictions, and then I don't have to reiterate what's going on here. Especially like I'm trying to rush, you know, on prediction shows, and I miss a lot on what I want to say. But Shinsuke Nakamura versus Samoa Joe, I'm highly looking forward to that. And yeah, these guys just go all balls to the wall every time they get in the ring. It's amazing. Samoa Joe is constantly put on amazing matches back to back to back in all his title matches, you know, whether he's defending the title or going for the title. So, and then Nakamura is just so much fun to watch. Like, Kapanga. It's just, yeah. It's great. It is really great. So I'm going to bring up the Survivor Series matches that we have announced so far, which are 6 matches. First up, we got the Cruiserweight Championship being defended by Brian Kendrick against Kalisto. You heard that right. Kalisto. It's an interpromotional singles match. If which Kalisto wins the title, SmackDown gets the entire Cruiserweight division. This might be a bit of a swing here, but I think it might happen because Raw, as you know, me and Jeremy both pointed out, like has a hard time for whatever reason putting the Cruiserweight division on their TV. You know, they drafted more guys to begin with, and then they added like a whole new division, so it's just not flowing. I don't like the long pauses. Move it to SmackDown. It's a better show at the moment. You can showcase them there, and guess what? 205 Live will be showing right after SmackDown on Tuesdays. So something's going to work out there to where 205 Live and then SmackDown. That's going to be exciting. And another interpromotional match, which I'm digging. I'm digging these interpromotional matches because of Survivor Series. Raw versus SmackDown, this is what it should be. Dolph Ziggler will be defending his Intercontinental Championship. It gets Sami Zayn. Finally, Sami Zayn gets thrown a bone. He was totally left off the card at Hell in a Cell, which was disappointing because it's like Sami Zayn's one of your top talents there, you know, and he should be in a program with Kevin Owens soon for that title. But if you're not going to put him in a program for it, you know, do something with him. And even if he doesn't win an Intercontinental Championship, you know, it's going to be a good match. It's against Dolph Ziggler. You know these guys are going to go all out. You know it's going to be exciting for the fans. So I'm highly looking forward to that match. After that, we have a 10-on-10 Survivor Series Tag Team Elimination Match. You heard that right. So Team Raw's tag teams consist of New Day, Sheamus and Cesaro, The Club, Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson, Enzo Amore, and Big Cass. And at the moment, the Shining Stars. They will be taking on Team SmackDown, which consists of the Tag Team Champions, Heath Slater and Rhino, the Hype Brothers, American Alpha, I'll get this right, guys, the Usos, and Breezango, who beat the Vaudevillains on this week's episode of SmackDown to make the team. I'm not sure if what's going on with Breezango, if they're baby faces or not, but I love what's being done with them. I love how they're being packaged together, and just seeing what they did with them on SmackDown was, to me, highly hilarious. I really enjoyed it. They came out wearing kilts, and they were still part of the Fashion Police, and they give people tickets in the audience for looking like Jamokes. It's genius. I love it. On top of that, we have a Team Raw versus Team SmackDown women's match, 5-on-5 Survivor Series Elimination Match. Team Raw is consisting of Charlotte Flair, Bayley, Nia Jax, Alicia Fox, and Sasha Banks with Dana Brooke versus Team SmackDown, which consists of Nikki Bella, Becky Lynch, Alexa Bliss, Carmella, and Naomi with Coach Natty. You got to have Natty out there. And I love the fact that, you know, they have all the women out there. But when you look at this, it's 6-foot-6, and that's the entire division for both shows. You have 12 women there, and I'm sure we can get a few more on the main rosters. I still feel like that title split wasn't a great idea as far as splitting up the women's division like that, because it's so bare. Like, you know, Sasha Banks was on a podcast not too long ago talking about how she's wrestling Dana Brooke again. You know, like, she openly complained about it, and, you know, she wishes there was, I think a lot of us wish that there was more women talent out there to change things up. You know, they did bring in jobbers, you know, female jobbers, and I guess that kind of helped out a little bit, but to me, it's kind of like, you're splitting, I mean, not splitting, not in that sense, but when you thin out the division that much, I think it hurts the overall product, which you're trying to establish. And it works on SmackDown because SmackDown's a 2-hour show, so you can do like maybe 2 or 3 matches and get away with it. But on Raw, you have a 3-hour show and you're only putting on one women's match. And, you know, when's the last time you saw Alicia Fox in a match? You know, Nia Jax was in a match. They finally bring him back. And it just, like, where are they at this whole time? I don't know. Sorry, guys. On top of that, we have Team Raw versus Team SmackDown 5-on-5 Survivor Series men's elimination match. Team Raw versus Team SmackDown. Team Raw consisting of Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho, Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, and Seth Rollins, taking on the Team SmackDown, AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose, Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton, and Shane McMahon. You heard that right. Shane McMahon announced on SmackDown. This goes into the whole James Ellsworth, like, yeah, it will be exciting. It gives us something to watch. But why is Shane McMahon in this match? Why is Apollo Crews not in this match? Why is Curt Hawkins not in this match? This is a great time to show off Curt Hawkins, but you're going to put Shane McMahon in that match? I don't know. And in our main event, guys, Bill Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar. Straight up, that's some video game shiz, a rematch from WrestleMania, whatever. I don't even remember. 17, 18. So, a lot of time has passed between those two. And I think they even wrestled a few times in New Japan and were put on some great matches there. I'm sorry. I'm going through my notes here. I think that's pretty much everything I wanted to cover this week. Because doing this solo is really weird, and I can't believe I actually have gone this long and you guys have listened to me. I would have loved some questions. So if you listen to this episode and you're just kind of like, what did I just listen to? Send me some questions. So the next time this happens, I'm a little bit more prepared. Hey guys, I did play WWE 2K17. This past week. You know, I'll wrap up some Extra Life stuff because me and Jeremy raised a shizload of money for Extra Life. Me and Jeremy alone raised over $600. Jeremy hit his goal and I hit my goal. And if you guys remember from past episodes, if we both hit our goals, not only was Jeremy getting an Extra Life tattooed on his arm, he was going to get the show logo tattooed. And guess what, guys? He did it. I will be sharing pictures of that to the Facebook and on Twitter. So look out for the Lucha Mask coming out. They look amazing. He did it the day after Extra Life. As a team, I think we almost raised $1,500 for Proven Gamer. So that, to me, is even amazing that we were able to raise that money for children's hospitals in the surrounding areas. Not too sure who Tricky and the guys at Remember the Loot and Trophy Horrors played for as far as hospitals, but we played for the UNM Children's Hospital. So all of our money that me and Jeremy raised will go to UNM Children's Hospital in Albuquerque, New Mexico, which we're highly excited for. Great cause. If you guys ever want to look at what Extra Life is all about, go to extra-life.org for more information. So everybody who contributed, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. It was amazing. I'm sure Jeremy will have something prepared for next week. I'll remind him to, so that he doesn't forget. So on that note, remember, Marks, you can send us your questions or comments by following us on Twitter at @smart_marks. You're more than welcome to follow us as well on our personal accounts. You can follow me at Mateo83. You can follow Jeremy at JVader82. Like us on Facebook there. You can interact with us and other fans of the show. Send us your favorite wrestling-related memes, ask some questions, and just have some fun. You can also follow us on Tumblr and Instagram, and if you're living off the grid and avoid social media altogether, like I am right now, you can still write us an email at smartmarksquestions@gmail.com. Again, that email, smartmarksquestions@gmail.com. If you guys shop through Amazon, please use the referral link through the provengamer.com/podcast site. All of that, there's absolutely no added cost. Just use the link which shows that you're a fan of the show, and we'll get a little bit of help from Amazon to help keep the lights on. Remember, you can stream, download, and rate the show via iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and provergamer.com. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating and leave a funny review that I can read on the show. While you're there at provergamer.com, you can still check out other podcasts such as Trophy Horrors and Remember the Loot. Also, there's a plethora of game reviews and editorials, so make provengamer.com your one-stop shop for everything gaming and wrestling related. While I do that, guys, I'm going to look and see if there are any reviews for the Smart Marks podcast on iTunes. I know there's only maybe one on Stitcher. And let's see, reviews. Just two reviews still. Guys, leave some reviews for us. If you leave reviews, we will give something back. I don't know what it is, but we'll figure it out. Do us a favor. Go to the iTunes if you use iTunes and leave a review there. Alex, if you listen to this show, leave a review on Stitcher. I'd highly appreciate it. You know I will. You know, Alex, you're a big supporter of the show, and that will come greatly appreciated. thanks for listening, Marks. That was really odd. And once again, I am Matt. Jeremy's not here. He'll be here next week. And we'll catch you guys next time on the Smart Marks podcast. Peace out.